Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here's Byram holding with a shot. Rebound behind him. They score. Sabres tie the game seconds after giving up the first goal of the game. Zucker in the blue paint got to this one. It's 1-1 in Dallas.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Sabres ultimately would lose that game 4-2, although Jason Zucker has been on a bit of a tear as of recent. 3 goals in the last 4 games. Sabres, though, again, did lose to Dallas. They're back in action tonight, continuing their road trip here. They take on Colorado tonight at 9 p.m. Colorado, though, on a 5-game win streak. Start out the year not in the greatest of spots. They've really turned it around. And for more on the Sabres tonight, we go to the Western Hotline as Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, Happy New Year. How was yesterday for you?
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. Yeah, the Avalanche have won 9 of 11, if you want to go even further. So, I wonder how much the Sabres think about what happened here in Buffalo.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, Colorado's a weird team. Like, everyone kind of assumed they'd get going. So, to me, it's not even surprising now. Like you said, they've won 9 of 11. It's not even surprising. They're a really, really good team. But, I mean, going into this road trip, it's nice to see the Sabres not – I don't want to say and be mean and be like, well, they're watchable now. But, I mean, they've been much better. They look like the team during their own little win streak there where they're scoring a lot. The special teams look much better. They've not turned a corner yet. They're still well below 500. But, again, they're watchable.
Yeah, it was a shame for them in that game in Dallas where it was either a tie game or a one-goal game. Buffalo coming in, it had power play goals in 3 out of 4 games and were 4 for 10 at a 40% clip. So the power play, at least for a little bit, was doing very well. They never got a power play opportunity, which maybe, who knows? Well, you know, could that have changed the game? We don't know because we didn't get to see it. But usually all year long, most people would say, well, don't get a power play opportunity because it takes all your momentum away. But, in this case, they never had one. There was only one power play in the whole game, and the Sabres, by the way, killed it off. Their penalty kill, and that's probably why they won 3 games in a row and were competitive in the other 2, is because the special teams have woken up again. And they were, remember when they won 7 out of 9?
Yeah, exactly.
They were number 1 on the power play in the penalty kill in those 9 games and number 4 on the power play. You know, you win when the special teams do well. You normally don't when they don't. And then the special teams floundered. They floundered. Now the special teams are back to doing fairly well again.
You wonder and or hope, I mean, on my end it's more hope, that maybe the lessons Ruff and the coaching staff are trying desperately to instill in these guys are finally starting to stick. I don't know. I mean, Paul, you've even mentioned it too. During the losing streak, they'll end it, and they'll probably go on a winning streak again. Like, this is just what this team does, and for me, at least, that's been, like, why it's a little difficult to, like, really buy into, you know, Quinn starting to score or stuff like that, because it's just like, I almost expected this.
Yeah, well, this group's been together for two full years and however many games they've played this year. And they've shown us nothing in all that time that would tell us that they're going to go on anything more than a three-game winning streak, which they've done four times this year. And all four times they haven't been able to, you know, get that fourth win. I mean, the first time it was against the Florida Panthers, they lost 5-2. Second time it was against the Montreal Canadiens, they lost 7-5. Third time it was against the Minnesota Wild, a game they outplayed the Wild, but, you know, Wild's goaltender stood on his head and they lost 1-0. And now the fourth time they've done it, they lose 4-2 to the Dallas Stars.
Paul, looking at, like, you know, the whole winning streak, losing streak thing that we're constantly fixated on here because it's been a problem over these past few years, but looking at the upcoming games for the Sabres here, they did, you know, somewhat put up a fight against Dallas, and they're one of the better teams in the NHL. Now they have Colorado and Vegas coming up here. It seems like, you know, what we've seen from the Sabres in recent years is they get up for the good competition. And do you think that can continue here tonight against teams like Colorado? Like, not to say Colorado's been the best all year, but they have the same core that they've had for the few years now. And I wonder if there's got to be a turning point here somewhere. And I feel like even though it's a loss to Dallas, it still could be viewed as like, hey, they still played decent anyway, right?
Yeah, the years all combined to me. It was either last year or the year before. I believe it was the year before, but I'm not positive. They played a really good game here in Colorado and won. They were a couple of years ago, they were a very good road team. They couldn't buy a win at home, and it's what cost them the playoffs because of their home record. Well, many things cost them the playoffs, but they were close. But, they have played well in this building before. They just lost to the Dallas Stars, but they beat the Dallas Stars earlier in the year. They should have beaten the Colorado Avalanche earlier in the year. That's the game that basically blew up their season that really they've never recovered from. And they haven't played Vegas yet. They did all right in the game in Washington. That was a 4-2 loss, but they were competitive in that game. And those are games that, they've already played all but Vegas and done pretty well. And look at what the Montreal Canadiens did in Vegas. They got behind, I believe it was 2-0, and they won the game the other night. And now Montreal, starting with the Buffalo win, have won 6 out of 7 games.
Paul, what have you seen from Rasmus Dahlin since his return? I mean, he gets the second star of the week for the NHL last week, 3-0, 7 points, 7 assists. Didn't do anything in terms of the score sheet on against Dallas, but, I mean, you've been talking about it, where he really hadn't looked good all year, you know, going back and forth between, you know, is it health, what's going on? And then, you know, after him kind of saying this is the last game I'm missing, he performed really darn well.
No, he has. You know, now that he has the back spasms at least under control, he said it's the best he's felt all year. It's the best he's played all year by far. I mean, absolutely by far. So, excuse me. So, yes. Yeah, so, I think he's played very well defensively. He's killed plays. He's, you know, helped out with other when things go bad defensively. He stopped a goal in Dallas that was headed over the goal line, and he dove back into the crease and pulled it out before the whole puck got over the goal line. I think it partially had, but the whole puck hadn't. So he saved them a goal there. And, of course, you talked about offensively, where he had tied a team record for defensemen getting 4 assists in one game, and then in the next game he had 2 assists in the first period, giving him 6 assists in 4 periods. He was, you know, contributing the way Rasmus Dahlin can contribute at both ends of the ice.
Paul, last thing for me here. College football yesterday, New Year's Day, big day for bowl games. Your Iowa State Cyclones were like, it seems like the first national victim to Camp Scataboo. My Texas Longhorns also were. Did you watch any of the football yesterday?
Yeah, after I flew here to Denver, I got a chance to see all the fourth quarter of that game.
And, oh, I'm sorry.
The Iowa State game, they deserved to lose. I mean, Arizona State was the better team by far. I think I told you after that game, but with Scataboo, it was like 10-year-olds jumping on his back and he was carrying them 40 yards downfield.
That's exactly how it feels.
Like 3 of them. Mm-hmm. It's just a man amongst boys. And it really showed me what a good team Arizona State was. And I gave them a chance to win that game even before it started. You know, they're better than people think they are, and they really should have won the game. I mean, they got behind. It was funny. I had checked into the hotel that I think they were behind. Texas had just scored 24-7. Mm-hmm. By the time I got to dinner, it was tied. It was so I didn't see the comeback, but then I saw all the overtimes and everything, and their defense left them at the end. I mean, Texas had a fourth and long to lose the game. If they don't get the first down or the touchdown, game's over. And they got the touchdown. And then they got the touchdown on their next play to take the lead, and then they got the two-point conversion. And then you knew that was it for Arizona State, and it sure was it. But, they were a better team. They deserved to be where they were. And they showed it with the game they played yesterday.
Yeah, I think that was unquestionably the best game so far of this revamped 12-team playoff. And now with the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma being out, there is sort of this void of who's going to be the big dog on campus for the Big 12. Colorado, of course, has a shout. Iowa State's always been a good team. They were in the Big 12 championship this year. Arizona State, though, Kenny Dillingham, it's his second year. He's in his mid-30s. He's a young guy with a lot of energy. They could be like that sleeping giant in this new-look Big 12. Should be a lot of fun.
I love how like Nebraska left. You know, Nebraska and Oklahoma were the class of the Big 12, even back when it was the Big 8.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like number one and two in the country back then. I mean, they were the class of college football. Nebraska leaves, and they're nothing. I mean, they're just nothing. And now Oklahoma, I just love that Oklahoma left and finished one game under 500 and lost to Navy in their bowl game.
It's the best.
That was awesome. And enjoy your new league, boys.
And Texas is doing all right. Oklahoma, not so much. Nebraska, not so much. All right, Paul. I would say, you know, get ready for a long night, but you're in Denver, so it shouldn't be too bad tonight. But enjoy the game. We'll talk again soon.
All right, take care.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Wester Hotline. For us here in Buffalo, the game does get going at 9 o'clock in Colorado, with pregame getting going at 8. Brian Koziol and Paul Hamilton will have you covered right here on WGR for that. Yeah, yesterday's game, Josh, stressful. Stressful.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have been. It was 17-5. You were fine. Finish it.
I thought the game was over as soon as the punt return.
Silas Bolden, yeah,
I thought 14-0. I thought the game was over.
Yeah, go back to my Twitter. I said they were going to put up 50. I saw that.
I remember I texted you, and I didn't get a response for a little while.
Nobody did.
But like, it was just like, man, he's got to be going through it. It was a great game, though. Honestly, neutral fan perspective.
Oh, it was awesome.
Incredible game. Especially because of every single other game that's happened so far is just
it hasn't been great. They've been blowouts. But even the Rose Bowl later that night is a blowout.
Well, and I will say about that too. Like, a lot of people were seeing that and saying, see, look, even the good teams, like, we got to go back, get rid of the 12 team. It's already bad. It's like, no, some teams just have bad days. Like, Oregon was undefeated. They had to lose at some point. And it was going to be a stupid loss. They beat Ohio State earlier in the year. That's a game where you look at it and you go, no, this was just an any given Wednesday in this case for a team to just come out and lose. Other games you can look at and say, yeah, no, they're like Texas was building up to be a blowout. I'm trying to think of some of the other games that were.
Indiana played very scared. I would say coached very scared against Notre Dame.
Penn State played very well, but Boise State just.
If Genty didn't have some of those turnovers, though, I think that game was much closer. Yeah, it's more when they played SMU, that was. Why is SMU here?
Right. So again, it's I get what people are saying, but at the same time, it's just like, especially when you look at that game specifically, the Rose Bowl. Yeah, sure, Ohio State blew out Oregon, but Oregon is not a bad team. They just had a bad day.
It's also it's college football,
right?
And that's where it has frustrated me a little bit with people. I personally think the perfect playoff is six teams, because ultimately I don't think there are actually 12 great teams to compete for a national title. It's not like basketball where you can have upwards of all of, one, two, and the three seeds all could genuinely can be competing for a national title and good enough to win a national title. Typically in college football, if you have three great teams, you're in a really good spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think six would have been perfect. I think 12 can maybe be a bit too much. But it allowed teams like Arizona State, who are building a program, and again, they're in their second year with Kenny Dillingham, their quarterback, who I think Sam Leavitt is an NFL guy in 2 years. I think he has all the tools you'll want. His best receiver by a wide margin, Jordan Tyson, was not in. I think it was something I heard on the broadcast, like 48% of their wide receiver production comes from him or something ridiculous like that. He didn't even have his best guy. He was still, playing his heart out, and he was doing great. Scadaboo is vomiting profusely, still playing. Like, they're building a program. Scadaboo's going to go to the NFL, but I really like what they're building there, and I do think they can be a main member in the Big 12. And on that, too, I think it was really good for a Big 12 team specifically with all of the stereotype around the Big 12 of, like, they don't play defense, for them to really take it to Texas's offense for most of that game, really outside of, like, the first two drives, was really, really good by them. I mean, they fell off at the end. Texas kind of, it's the old meme where the guy's playing with his back, against the chair, and then it's like, oh, all right, I got to lean forward. I got to lock in. That's kind of what they did. But Texas plays with their food, and Arizona State was willing to take it to them. And it was a fun game if you're neutral. For me, as a Texas fan, I wanted to die during most of the second half. The entire third quarter, most of the fourth quarter. 803-0550, the number two call. Allie, we'll get to you after a quick timeout. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.